Good. The question is that a real good, or like, is it kind of like an arm twist? So like, oh, I just gotta put my church face on, you know? Like one part of my body is like twisting the other, say good, you know, but you're not really good. Or are we really seeing the blessings this morning and seeing how blessed we are? Okay. I don't need an answer for that right now. All right, guys, so I'm excited about today, because this is a word that I believe that the Lord has put on my heart for a few years now. It's been kind of like brewing and cultivating that's kind of a pun intended, because today it's called Back to Eden, is my message, Back to Eden, Cultivating Life. But before I get into it real fast, I just wanted to piggyback on something that Jimmy Reed said last week. Who was here for Jimmy Reed? Amazing. And one amazing thing she said was, you know, kind of a warning to not be like a church that's full of revelation, but we don't do anything with it. Because she likened that to just drying up. And that just totally speaks right into where we're going today. It's about doing something with it. And the Lord's been teaching me in the past few months that he's been showing me, like, Evan, like, I know you love revelation, because I just love revelation. You know, a lot of guys like to talk football, you know, cars, whatever, but man, it's just sit me down and have a deep spiritual conversation, you know, talking about the Lord, the kingdom, and the mysteries of the gospel and stuff, and I'm just all in. So, but he's been teaching me that you love revelation, but make sure you don't forget about love. And I've realized that revelation not married with love is useless. There's just no point of it. It might as well just fall down and, you know, down to the ground and not be used. And I don't say that very easily, because revelation is extremely important. It's our daily bread. Like I said, I love it. But if we can't act on it, like Jimmy Reed was saying, and if we don't love, then we might as well just go home. Not to get all intense right away, but I mean, like, it just gets into playing church, but we're hearers, but we're not doers, right? So I really believe that it's just this picture that he's painting in my head this morning. This is us. Our first and foremost and most important commandment is to love the Lord our God with all of our heart, with all of our strength, with all of our mind, with all of our soul. And that's us to do that. And then the other is just like it. It's to move outward and to love others just as we love ourselves. So if we look closely, we could kind of apply that. There we go. We could apply that to us as a body, as a unit in Christ as well. And then it becomes three aspects of this thing, not just loving God and loving others, but loving ourselves. So as a house, as one, we're loving ourselves. Right? If we can't be a family, if we don't love, then what's the point of any of it, right? So we're loving God, and we're loving others. So it sounds like we have a job to do as a church, and really, it just boils down to that. Simple as that. Okay, message over. You guys good? You ready for the... that's where it's at. That's just really... it all boils down to love. Okay. So I'm just going to get started. Lord, we thank you so much for what you're doing. Thank you for moving. Man, it's so cool, guys. I had so many conversations this morning. Truman was like speaking like the oracles of God this morning to me. It was just amazing. And I'm like, man, that's like where I'm going with this thing. And so, Lord, we thank you, Holy Spirit. We acknowledge you and many people. Joseph, I mean, just people who we've been, you know, praying into things and talking this morning. He's been moving. So we honor you, Holy Spirit, for just moving, God. And we thank you for that confirmation. Because out of the mouth of many witnesses, something is strongly established. So, Lord, I just pray very simply that the word that you put in me could come out well, and that we'd be changed this morning, Lord. That's me too. That we'd just come out changed, God. And that we'd become the word that we're hearing. And we'd become doers of it, not just hearers. In Jesus' name. Amen. So I'm kicking it off with a few prophetic thoughts. I was on the phone with a really good friend of mine, Aaron York from California. We have a really, really good friendship. He's part of like a council of a few guys that, you know, we like to talk a lot. And he actually, I was talking to him yesterday, and he had a prophetic vision for our church. And it went like this. He said, I see a new irrigation coming. And it's the water. And he said he compared it to a baptism because he's been studying just really the Hebraic roots and everything of baptism. And baptism like isn't just so it's getting rid of the old and coming into the new. At its purest meaning, it's leaving one place and entering another. It's a place of transition. Leaving the old, coming into the new. And he saw that with our church, the irrigation would be like a baptism. And he also said something really interesting that really, I mean, I'm going to share mine in a second, like very similar. As the floodwaters came in, he said there were floodwaters that came in and there were seeds, many seeds that had been planted. They've been there all along. They've been there. But now they were activated. And he saw much growth and change and healing, restoration, growth in the land. It's a little more to it, but I don't want to stray from it in case I misquote it. Interestingly enough, a few months ago, and I think I shared it here, but I also saw a similar vision. I saw floodwaters. I mean, these were like, they're almost scary, but it was good. Floodwaters coming over from over the Rocky Mountains from the west. Yeah, from the west, very strong, down the mountains. And what happened was all these little ponds and streams, individual bodies of water. There was like there may have been a lake, river, everything. From bird's eye view, it all changed because as the water level rises, things start to change. Ponds become lakes. 2, 3, 4 ponds become a lake together, or depending on the level, you know, this pond and that pond get connected now by a stream at the low spot. And he was speaking to me prophetically about, you know, where we're going as the body of Christ today, which is unity. I just knew right away that was his desire for our region was to be unified, so that we're fluid as a church, okay, and we're able to be outward. It's not just contained in these walls, but we let it go out. We be a resource to other people and vice versa. And I felt like, you know, those who really made it about their church banner were going to be kind of disappointed because the Spirit just really wants to unify us to be one. And so going back real fast before I really dig in here to Jimmy Reed and Aaron's prophecy and things like that, really speaks to me about just letting it flow outward, okay, being outward as a church, connecting with others. And I want to encourage us that I almost don't even want to use the word evangelism because we hear evangelism, some of us kind of like hide away. But all it is just being, okay? And so I want to encourage us to take any opportunity and open doors that you have. And by the way, just personally, I just want to speak to all of you. If, you know, if there's some event coming up or there's something that's been brewing your mind, an idea, a way to connect with others and leave the four walls for once and just go out and take what we have, because we're ready, guys. We're ready, right? So if you have anything, you know, come up to us, speak to us, whatever, so we can kind of like, you know, work these things out, because I think that's really key. But also, even furthermore, just remember it's you. I mean, yes. I'm not even in a rush to create a special evangelism team again, because then we just make it this thing that some people just do. Yes. It's not something that some of us just do. It's something that everyone is. It's who we are. We are evangelism. We're not just doing evangelism, right? And it's so easy to just find, like, when you're overflowing with the Lord and let his heart have, like, let him have his way in your heart, it's like you're overflowing with it. It's what Hannah and I call the heart throw up, right? Because out of the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks. So I did an illustration for, I filled this glass with dirty water. I'm like, look, it's filling. You're putting bad stuff in you, whatever. What's going to happen? Overflow. But with the word of God, like, we've been fed so well. Right? It's a place of overflow. So that's evangelism. So what was your name again? Kent. Okay. So Kent and I haven't even met him, but you know, until last Sunday, but we were outside at the church yesterday. This is just a quick example. So easy. You know, we walked, like I walked out the back door and someone pulled up right in front of me and they were asking for directions. I didn't have the answer. I had different directions for them. But Ken was like amazing. He was just like pulled out his phone. He's like yelling, like And you know, he's looking it up. As he's looking it up, whatever, you know, we're just hanging out, and God gave us the chance to minister to them. You know, I was talking to this precious young lady who was driving around looking for a storage facility, and her father was next to her. I believe it was her father, and noticed there was a pair of crutches next to him. I said, "Sir, you know, would you mind if I asked you, you know, what happened to your legs?" So he's like, "Oh, polio, whatever." You know, as you know, when he was a young boy, he had polio. And so I said, "This might sound crazy, but you mind if I pray for you?" And he was like, "Yeah, I would love that." So I prayed for him, prayed the prayer of faith that he would walk. I didn't ask him like get out of the car, because it was just, everything was just kind of in the moment, and you know, we're moving, and you know, I thought they might be in a hurry. So, but I said, "Hey, sir, you know, don't be surprised if when you get out of your car later, you're going to find some super good strength in your legs. I've seen this happen. God's amazing." And he was like, thank you. So I turned to leave. He's about to get the answer. And the girl's like, "Can you pray for me too?" So I'm like, "Sure, that's awesome." So, and this is just, I mean, like, it doesn't always go that way, but it's so easy. Like, you know, when you're looking for an in to get that in, but you just have to be looking for it. Another thing that I'll say is, the second part of that, and seriously, I'm not even getting into the meat of the word today yet, but there's a church right over there, like I don't know, 100 steps away. I don't know if you guys all know. It's called Living Waters. I passed it a few times. I'm like, Living Waters? Like, they're like right there, and we're Living Word. Like, we're the Word, the truth, and they're the Spirit and the truth. That's so cool. So this morning, I was running early, like I often don't, and I decided to stop by the church. I'm like, I'm just walking in there, and seriously, there's a slight social hesitation. Who feels that sometimes? You know, it's just there sometimes. But I'm like, I'm walking in there. We gotta like get together. We gotta connect. So I walked in there. And it turns out, you know, like, I mean, they're, you know, walk in this little room. It's kind of like smaller than this, whatever. Not that much smaller, but it's a little smaller and beautiful group of people. Their service starts at 10, just like ours, by the way. So they were practicing. It was just a sweet worship. Like, these people just sweetly worshiping. It's beautiful. I'm like, man, this is right down the street. Like, I mean, in the same parking lot. So I walk in, you know, I met the pastor, you know, and we connected. And turns out they started in Golden 2. Weird. In like the basement or a room of a church. So it's like amazing, and we're just like, that's crazy. And he's like, "Yeah, when's good for you for lunch?" I'm like, "Oh, well, I work from home." He's like, "I work from home too." So it's just like one thing after another, really amazing. So we're gonna, like, you know, get together and connect. And that's just how easy it is to just, you know, I only explain those illustrations because they're some of the latest, but it's just the way to be outward, you know, just to be intentional about things. Okay, and not to skip around, but now back to Aaron's prophecy. About the irrigation. So, I love agriculture. It's actually more like permaculture, which is sustainable agriculture, because agriculture is broken and it doesn't work well. And we'll get into that. Agriculture as we know it. But what happens is, you have this dry, parched land. I'd love for this marker to work well. You have this dry, parched land, especially if it's on any kind of incline, but almost all land is. And you have the floodwaters, the irrigation, whatever have you, come down. And it's beautiful. You need the water. If someone asks my advice for, you know, for starting a good, sustainable farm, land, whatever, I'll usually say, hey, number one, do you have a source of water? Right? But number two, which is equally as important, if not more important, is can you retain that water? Because what tends to happen is this water, if it's poor quality ground, the water doesn't saturate and get taken in, you know, get taken up and soaked in and absorbed by the land. So there you have runoff, which is even worse, because then you lose even more of your land. What Aaron was talking about was a new irrigation. And that means that land that was not necessarily soaking up enough water is now beginning to soak up. So as a permaculturalist, you know, a sustainable agriculture guy, I might tell you, hey, create these things called swales. This is all it is from a side view. And so when the rain comes down, and if you're listening to this on audio, I'm doing some drawing, the rain comes down, all it is like little divots in the land. from bird's eye, they look like stripes in the land, lines in the land, that allows the water to go down and soak up in this land. Now you could achieve growth. It could be fruitful. It's good. Not just the divots, but this is like the agriculture, or I'm sorry, the irrigation that he was talking about. But also healing of the land, doing the right thing, covering it with the right stuff so that the land itself is soft and absorptive. I say that because I feel like some of us might be in this place in life. You don't have to raise your hand, but think about this. Do any of you, sometimes you're like, you know what? So much is coming in. I go to read the word and it's just not hidden. It's not hitting home. It's not absorbing. Right? I think we've all felt that. And sometimes as a church, we get so much revelation, we get so much spirit, we get plenty of water, but we're getting runoff. It's just running off because we're not absorbing what we have. You know, pour out your spirit, Lord. Well, the truth is he already has, so have we absorbed what he's already given us? Have we done anything with it? Are we letting it hit home so we can be well-rooted and then fruitful with what he's given us, with the resource? If you're feeling like you're in a dry season, I just want to encourage you that just take these two principles and then the rest of the message. But the two first principles here of my message and some revelations from agriculture. And by the way, if you're not into gardening, well, first of all, I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. If you're not into gardening, bear with me, because there was another guy that I know once who walked the earth that talked all about gardening, so take it up with him. Okay, anyway. So the first two principles, very important for a plant to grow. I need to stop closing this thing. The first two things that a plant really needs in the soil to be able to grow well from that good ground, okay? Two things that a plant needs from good ground is water and nutrients. What we need is water, spirit, and nutrients, truth. We will be worshipers of spirit and truth. So allow yourself to see this illustration that without the moisture in the ground, you're not able to uptake the nutrients. A lot of people tell me, oh, well, my tomatoes are deficient in calcium. How do I get more calcium in my soil? Well, a lot of times that could be a problem, but more times than none, there's plenty of calcium in their soil. It's just not bioavailable to the plant because they don't have the proper moisture in their soil. It's just too all over the place, and it's not well saturated and moist for them to be able to take up that nutrient. That's like the word. When we read the word, we want to read the word with the Spirit of God, who is the author of God. So I just want to encourage you that if you feel like, you know, you're in that season of like not really absorbing well, man, it's just not connecting. Ask the Lord to just fill your time of reading that word and read in relationship and not just in the mind, read in your heart, in your affections, and in that connection with him, rather than just reading it dry and just, okay, like this is my chore for the day, 30 minutes of reading or three chapters or one, whatever it is. But it's so powerful when you read the word with the author. A lot of times I read the word saying, Lord, Holy Spirit, I acknowledge your presence right here. You wrote these words. You inspired these words. So I'm reading with you by faith. You're coming around me and I'm reading this with you. Let it saturate. Let it soak in and let me become the very words that I'm reading. So we want to get the benefit of everything that's ours in that good soil. We want to be in moist soil, and to do that, we need to do that with the Spirit. It's not just enough that we just have the truth. It's a spirit and truth, right? Okay, so getting in here. So I'm going to talk about permaculture, which is sustainable agriculture. What I call it is agriculture that works. So like I said, our agricultural system has been broken for a very long time. Some of the older folks in here, you might even be able to tell me that, you know, because I've heard this before, that food today, like produce, doesn't taste as good as it used to. Does anyone have that? Because I'm youngin' still. Yeah, just doesn't have the same taste. And that's because we have unsustainable methods of growing things. we've been working the soil for a very long time. I heard that in the United States, there's an average of 8 feet of topsoil taken and destroyed, you know, like taken up, gone in many of the farming areas of the United States. That's no bueno. That's not good. We work very hard to fail, or maybe if it's not to fail, to produce very little, especially per all the nutrients or all the resources and time that we put into it. I want to propose that when Adam ate of the tree, when man fell, one of the biggest things, you know, one of the curses was explained in the land. It was a land. It would now grow thorns and thistles that would crowd out all the good stuff. And also, by the sweat of your brow, by your toiling, you're going to have to work the ground to get anything to eat. It's going to be hard work. What was before? Before was rest. Before was abundance. Before was relationship. Before was love. Prior to the productivity was out the roof, and all he needed to do was maintain. There are some translations that say that for there is no one to till the ground, or is talking about man tilling the ground in the garden. But I almost guarantee that that's a translational issue. And it's actually work the ground, which many translations actually do have, which in this case is mostly planting and reaping. That's it. And I'll explain that a little bit further. There's a man in recent times named Paul Gauchy, and he's amazing. He started a movement, not meaning to at all, because they found him. He didn't really try to do anything. But he found a movement called Back to Eden, and there are millions and millions and millions of people who have watched this documentary on his land. And there's visitors from all over the world to see what he does, whatever, because it's amazing, it's cutting edge, it's revelation from God, and it's simple. This guy, he has a beautiful relationship with the Lord. He's a Christian. And the Lord speaks to him in the garden. He grew up in a gardening family. He moved to Washington because he said, in his own words, that L.A. was no longer fit for human habitation. He moved over to some area in Washington. He planted a garden, and he did his usual thing, tilling, you know, working real hard, digging everything up every year, planting, fertilizing. I'm going to draw a till. Ready? This is... No, it's not a sun. There's the till. And I don't know. What else? Just one big weapon of choice. Okay? And so he did the usual thing. And he had an orchard. It was an apple orchard. And he said, man, I'm doing a lot of work. A lot of work. And I'm on a well and I really don't have that much water. So how do I conserve water, Lord? And the Lord told him, just go right across the street. Go right out into the forest. So he's like, okay. So he goes in the forest. He's like, oh, that's interesting. No one waters. Lots of growth. No one fertilizes. No one tills. No one does anything. And everything seems to just bust out of the earth all happy. So... what he did was he looked down and he noticed that the earth was covered. This is the great revelation right here. That the ground, there's a covering for the ground. He goes into repentance and all different things that the covering can mean, but we're not even going to go into that fully today. But he goes into the covering and he's like, okay, that works. So he ordered wood chips, and sorry if this is a little long-winded, this is just foundational for our message. He brought in wood chips, but not the pretty ones, all the irregular living ones, where he called tree service companies, and what they did was, they dumped the ground-up trees after they, you know, grind them up, whatever. Instead of them going into the landfill, he had them dumped on his orchard between his apple trees, spread it around. It was like 16 inches of this stuff, whatever, and he set it and forget it. Apples never needed watering after that. He had no weeds to do. He was like, okay, that's a great idea. Thank you, Lord. So some years later, he's working so hard like he always does in his garden, and he's tilling and turning over the soil, and then like in like a few weeks, you know, it's bright with green, and that green wasn't good, so there was all weeds. He's like, okay, now it's time to weed, and he's on his knees working real hard, and he's like, Lord, I don't get it. I mean, it's like it was working so well. There's no weeds in my apple orchard. What's the deal there? So he goes in his apple orchard, starts digging out a hole in the wood chips, and he finds the most amazing black gold he's ever seen in his life. It was like black and saturated, it was moist, beautiful. And he throws his rake, whatever, and he's like, Lord, why am I slaving away here? And the Lord was like, you didn't ask me about your garden. You asked me about the orchard. So Paul Gauchy covered his garden with this stuff, with this good mulch. And let's just say he never worked hard again. Let's just say his burden was light, his yoke was easy, and he got even more productivity than he ever had before. That's just the covering on the ground. Can you play that? Yeah, go ahead and play that video. So when I found this, I'm like, that is great. Well, let's do it at my house. So we're just going to play like 2 minutes of it. It's on mute. You can keep it on mute. Because I'll personally narrate my own video. Just kidding. Well, I will. So what you see there is just, that's actually some really good growth. Mostly squash, there's zucchini, there's flowers, corn, a couple of very young apple trees. And what's really neat is, about a month before this video was taken, 3 to 4 weeks before, we had a devastating hailstorm. And those were all like young plants, about a foot high or so, and they all got nailed and they got killed to the ground, like cut off. And I was like, okay, well, I guess we'll have a better year next year. But look what happened. So I'm showing a video of for the audio. I'm showing a video of just the really neat lush garden covered with wood chips, like Paul Gauchy was showing us. And there's good stuff happening. And again, after a devastating hailstorm, nonetheless, this would have been even bigger and more crazy looking. It's a little messy because I just planted and just I want to see what happens. So here's the kicker. I don't know are you able to forward? If you can go to exactly 2 minutes. If you can't, don't worry about it. Yeah, that's fine. That's what that's on. What I had when I first got our property was exactly that. Someone had made everything that you saw that's green and lush right now 2 years before. The previous owners had made it into what's called road base. I don't know if anyone's ever heard. It's called road base. It's a real cheap way to make a driveway. And it's compacted clay and rock, like compacted, dry. And so now, 2 years later, I put a covering on that ground, and what happened was, okay, you could shut it off when you want. So I just want to explain a few things, foundational. I'm going to give you the quick gardening lesson, and then we're going to go into the spiritual meaning of all this, because I think it's really cool. So what happens on this side, so this is the usual, this is traditional agriculture, tilling, working hard, doing the whole deal, and you'll produce fruit. You'll produce, right? It's a lot of work, but you'll produce. What happens here, what is amazing is nowhere on earth, see the Lord, he's smart, he's brilliant, and he created the world, Paul Gauchy said it really well, so that he never has to show up for a day of work. It's living systems, scientists are still like figuring this stuff out, they're trying to, not always doing that well, depending. But conventional wisdom is this, right? But anyway, so he realized that nowhere on God's green earth is it ever covered. You never see bare soil except for where man has messed with. Except maybe for deserts, which just reinstates the point. That you don't see good growth without a covering. Because the soil is it's a system of living organisms. It needs protection just like you and I. So as soon as you cover the soil, things begin to change. I've seen it firsthand because that right there is, to some people, that'd be like miraculous. Some people have said that. They're like, man, I have a garden. I have these beautiful big raised beds, whatever. I can't get what you got there. I'm like, oh, man, if you only knew what that was sitting on. So what happens, you put the covering on, quite a few things. All the weeds, you just cover the weeds, long story short. The weeds are in here. Instead of pulling the weeds, you cover them, and they actually become fertilizer for what comes after. There's a spiritual lesson in that, too. Okay. What also happens is it retains moisture. It's a covering. It's natural organic material. It retains moisture in the ground, especially in Colorado. You really want that, right? Like, we know how our sun gets, and we know how dried and parched things get. So this just covers it, and it keeps it from evaporating. Another thing, you're building soil. All this organic material, you know, towards the base, it starts to break down and become beautiful, amazing black gold. The fungal activity, you know, the microbe activity, you know, all these things in here, like attack this and eat it up and make it amazing. Okay. Also, just like, okay, it gives it a refuge for worms, earthworms, and different living organisms that break things down. It gives them a refuge to come up now. It softens all this parched stuff like it did mine, which is, I'm blown away by that. And it loosens it up. So what happens is, this has an amazing effect on everything below it. And it literally transforms the earth beneath the covering. And there are more, I mean, there are even more benefits, but let's just leave it at that. Less weeds, you know, like seeds come on, they don't really have a place to, you know, to get anchored and get embedded as easily. But even if they do, by the way, like most of them come up so easily now because the soil's soft. So weeding itself is very easy. Yeah. Nope. So yeah, Josephine asked me an excellent question, because that's a great question, because, by the way, a few years before, Kirsten can remember real well, I planted some beds, and I'm like, oh, well, got to take this rock out. There was like a foot and a half of this, maybe a foot, about 16 inches in some areas of this hard, compacted clay. I literally remember I'm like inside the boxes before I fill it, so I'm slaving away with like a pickaxe. Because if you can't use a shovel. If you try to pierce it with a shovel, it's like ding, it's bad. So I'm just, you know, by hand. I spent like, I don't know, a few weeks? Yeah, weeks, like just emptying this out. And then I realized that all you need to do, it's so simple. This simple is offensive. Like, it's offensive to people. It's offensive to man in the old nature. Or should I say the new nature from the old, the original. But you know what I mean, fallen man. So no, all this, Josephine, was like all I did was cover it and the transformation came. Some of you are catching wind of this baby already. I just love it. Here, I just went wild and just started putting a whole lot of organic material layer by layer. And I'm sorry, Josephine asked me how thick did I cover this, this thing. And another great question. Probably like 5-6 inches to begin with of the wood chips. And then the following season, I threw some manure down, because manure is just amazing. It's just like a speed up of what you want in the end. With some manure, and then I put like another layer of wood chips. So all together, it's probably like 10 inches. So, you know, something like that. And this fall, I might put some more. Might not. It's all compounding. It's amazing. So the thing is this, like, permaculture, the study of sustainable agriculture, is catching on to things like this. And in fact, they're not even just doing the Paul Gauchy thing. They're saying, hey, we're gonna replicate our own like forest per se, and we're gonna maybe we'll start with something like this, because we need to heal the land. We need to put the organic matter back on. We need to cover it. We need to, you know, to do what God does out there, and then not to stop there, because, you know, we want to have our own source of covering. So then we plant a whole bunch of microclimates and areas and different things to now drop leaves. See, because every fall we get this gift, you know, from the Lord's design in the form of fallen leaves. What does man do with fallen leaves? Yeah, we rake them and throw them in the landfills. What happens when we actually apply it is this. I've seen it firsthand. So, you know, so now we're getting into the science of just really creating a sustainable system here. And this is still our conventional way of agriculture. We're losing so much water every year, especially with, you know, much of the nation in constant drought lately, where, you know, because the water, so it's not retaining it. Like we were talking about before, we're getting runoff, we're not getting good absorption, so we're putting tons of water in there, we're putting tons of chemical-based fertilizers. By the way, I don't fertilize, nothing. I don't fertilize at all. No miracle grow in that garden. It grows miraculously, but no miracle grow there. So, but we're putting these chemical-based fertilizers. A lot of them have salts and harsh chemicals that are killing the microbes. And then by the end of the growing year, since it hasn't had a covering, it's now compact again and dry. And so we need to till it back up. I've seen it. I've tilled. It makes it fluffy. It's beautiful, black, looking good. 6 weeks later, it's hard, compact, dry ground again. With this method, this is also called no-till. I will never till again in my life, ever. I will only cover and add, cover and add, cover and add, and then the transformation happens below. Okay, so let me get... Okay, so I really should have broke this down into two sermons, but... And all you gardeners, I know we'll be talking later. I want to present to you a few ideas here. And if you're note takers, write this down. You might want to. This is tilling and working. Hard, right? This is the way of man, thousands of years. Tilling and working. This is covering and resting. Let's start getting a little deeper now. This is religion. Right? Hard work. And what's funny is, by the way, like I said, you'll get fruit. You'll get some fruit. You'll get some fruit, but it won't come without a lot of hard work. And the fruit from that is much better. More fruit. Much more. I mean, infinitely more fruit. And you're resting. And it's so much more fun. So this is religion. This is relationship. This is works. This is grace. And real grace. I'm not talking about the cheap grace of like this, these new movements going around. No, we're free to sin and get away with it. That's not grace. Grace is transformation. Without transformation, it's twisted grace. It's not real grace. Right? So works grace. It's another word, Evan. Okay. It's another message for another time. Striving. Restful abiding. No sustained change, all our transformation underneath. And by the way, it keeps getting better and better. Because time is just a great factor. Now, instead of time working against you, it's working for you. It's like, oh, wow, cool. Next year will be better. Next year will be better. And every time it rains, by the way, does anyone hear of compost tea? It's like a new thing. It's like, you know, you basically bring water through nutrient-rich compost and then water stuff with it. The cool thing is I have compost tea every time it rains or I water, which is, by the way, that year right there, the time I took the video, I only watered once every 2 or 3 weeks if it didn't rain. That's insane. Before I did that, on some days, Kirsten as my witness, I'd have to water like 2 or 3 times a day sometimes for the plants not to completely wilt and die. This is eventually hard, compact, stony. This is soft. Ezekiel, he says, I will take away the stony heart and I will give you a heart of flesh, tender, soft. Because that heart of flesh, that is the soft soil in the parable of that Jesus gave with the seeds. That is the soil that receives the word. We were just talking about that. Love this stuff. Doing to be, you're doing stuff to achieve the being, right? I got to prove myself. Being to do. Really important. And honestly, that doesn't even describe it well enough. It's more like being, so therefore I do. Right? Because I'm not being to do something. I'm just being, and out of that place, I'm doing. It just comes naturally. Anyone want those repeated? because you want me to repeat them real fast? Okay, cool. I'm just making sure. And the reason why I said that is because I realized as the Lord was giving me that, that's just a great standard of measurement. Like, and not out of condemnation. Like, I do it all the time. This message is so for me. Like, so for me. I need to be that. It's not out of condemnation. It's just an encouraging to remember, like, hey, my life, am I Am I in this religious thing or relationship or works or grace or striving or restful abiding or sustained change or transformation? Just going down the line. Am I getting in the daily grind of the stresses of life and trying to achieve something and doing to be, or am I being to do, right? So that's just a great little insight that I'm going to be working with. Okay, so we have the covering. This to me is the covering of the blood of Jesus. It's also the covering, because there's so much about covering in the word. But this place of rest and covering and productivity out of just being is the covering of the blood of Jesus, and it's also the covering of a garment that you put on. If prophetically, when you put on a white garment, it should change the inside of you. I spoke about that. I think the last time I spoke about the difference between the old and the new. But the old fulfilled in the new, but the old and the new, and that in the old there's this covering, a sprinkling, but there's no change in the internal necessarily, unless people push through and got into the relationship, because then they're just getting into Jesus because he's eternal. They're getting into the eternal realm. But the old is just like, is not the transformation. The new is the covering with the blood of Jesus, which in Hebrews it describes, which unlike the old, but when it was blood, the blood of goats and calves, which were able to purify the outside, make it look pretty, purify the flesh per se, but not cleanse the conscience. Now we have the blood of Jesus, which works down intimately, deeply, and transforms the very thing that we are. We're transformed. We talked about last time that the old covenant, in the birthing of it, or can't find the word, but the application, the starting, the acknowledging of it, Moses sprinkled the people. Right, and he said, "This is the covenant between you and the Lord." When Jesus enacted his covenant, he said, "Here's my blood. Take it and drink it." It's weird to some people, beautiful to me, because it means I take it inside of me, and that speaks to my internal transformation. So, the covering of the blood of Jesus, transformation, renewal, perfection. It corresponds with what happens beneath the soil. It's literally a new thing. Okay, so I don't have too much time left. I just want to get into some of the practicalities, practical application, because I believe in life the answer is found here. The bottom line is, like that good soil, we need to give the word, we need to give the truth in our life a good place to land or a good place to take root. And I don't know about you, but I'm interested in being this. I'm interested in being the good soil. Because if I'm the good soil, then what happens over here is fruit. Okay, I'm actually going to adhere to my notes today because I don't want to miss anything here. So it's about being the healthy soil. How do we make sure that we be the healthy soil? Because we all know we want it. We want to be that good soil that comes into fruition, like Jesus says, and actually produces a multitude, many times what was planted, and it grows, and that's the kingdom, right? So how do we make sure that we are that good ground, or keep our hearts in that place of good ground, because that soil's our heart? In fact, how do we even see transformations? How do we see our souls changed and healed? How do we put off the old man and put on the new? That's been a really hot topic here. And I believe that we have the answer right there. I believe that we have the answer, and it's called faith. We take these things by faith. By faith, you literally take hold of the truth. You're grabbing hold of something in the spiritual realm that's already you in the spirit, and transferring it, pulling it, and applying it here. And we keep on doing it, we keep on at it until we see manifestation here. That's faith in a nutshell. Hebrews 11, that's basically it played out. I found it interesting that there's a really neat little order that Paul gives between Ephesians and Galatians. And that order is grace, through faith, through love. Ephesians 2:8, it says, it is by grace through faith, right? And then Galatians 5:6, it says, faith working through love. So, by grace, through faith, faith through love. Great little order, because the grace, again, biblical grace, is not just a gift given that wasn't, you know, deserved. Biblical grace is transformation, change, God empowering you to be everything that you're supposed to be. Almost every time we see grace in the New Testament, that's what it's talking about. So how do we get that power and that power to change? It's through faith and grabbing hold of something. It's a supernatural. We transfer it and apply it to the natural. It's that already but not yet type of thing. And that's what we live by. We don't live by sight, we live by faith, which is our spiritual eyes. So instead of just believing we are going to see change, that's a great start, right? I'm believing for that change, whatever. A step further in faith, it's already seeing the change, so therefore we believe. So when you step into that eternal realm, and easy to do, just get in the Word. It's just giving the word a place to land. You hear what God says about you, and you said, okay, there it is, therefore I receive it. It's like a mirror, it's like a window into the Spirit. That's an easy way. I would really encourage, it's like, because the end all, it's faith through love, so it's love. And if I have a relationship with God, I'm hearing Him, I'm seeing Him, He's speaking to me, He's ministering to me, and now I'm receiving His love, and now I'm able to apply it to my life. So the relationship thing is just brilliant. But it's believing and engaging in the truth of who we already are in the Spirit. So a lot of us are like, well, okay, I know it says this, whatever, but I keep getting this ugly thing coming out of me. How do I get rid of it? And I want to propose that it's not going to be you can work at it. You can work at it. You can be like, I'm going to fight that thing. I'm going to beat it out of me. Or you can just pursue love and pursue Him, and therefore it comes out. I'm like, more on that in a minute. So I'm believing the truth of God about myself, believing I've been changed before even seeing the changes. That's foolishness to the world. It's the power of God for us. That's faith. And knowing and believing what I was created for. Here's like, you know, the depth of the answer of how do I put off the old man and put on the new, at least in my experience, was taking God at His word. And my eyes being open to like, hey, son, I created you for this really good thing. To remember, and Truman and I were talking a little about this morning, to remember that if I want my inheritance, if I want to see what it looks like played out, I look at Jesus and I look at the beginning. Because the end is supposed to be like the beginning. And in the beginning, we were created in His image and His likeness to be full of abundance, rest, and most of all, relationship with God. And then we were to reproduce everything that was seeded after our own kind. Yay. Okay, almost done here, guys. Okay, so it's what gives you the anchor to change is knowing, hey, like when I see this ugly thing, instead of just trying to fight the ugly thing, and by the way, like sometimes we spend way too much time fighting the bad instead of partaking in the good. Sometimes we take too much time rebuking devils. And by rebuking devils, all we're doing is making them lords over our life, because what we acknowledge we're giving power to, they're waiting for us to actually give them attention. They're attention craved and starved. And when we actually turn our head sideways and start, I rebuke you, devil, whatever, that's exactly what they want. Come on now. That's exactly what they want. They want the attention. They want you to now be distracted and give them power by giving them attention, because and that will make them lord over that area of your life. I know it's a little harsh, but that's just the reality of it. Some of us, I'm just saying, I'm not saying that, you know, there's never a reason to do that. When the enemy gets in your way, you move him aside. But to go from the side, you know, from the center to the side, another thing that Truman was talking about. Sorry, Truman, just calling you out. It's good. It's just amazing revelation you were pouring out this morning. It was really good. When we turn to the side, we're now giving them exactly what they wanted instead of partaking in, you know, in Him. Some of us need to speak to angels a little more and speak to demons a little less. Just saying. Like, and to now communicate with the Father. How about communicating with the Father and letting that So if the enemy tries to touch you, he ought to take a risk, because every time you're touching him, instead of being like trying to fight him off with the weapons of this world, no, now you're saying, like, you know, by faith, you're like, it makes you rejoice all the more. Thank you, Lord, that thought that I just had, that's not me anymore, because I have in your word, that's my legal ground, my legal basis for who I'm supposed to be, who I am. Thank you that's not me anymore. Thank you, Lord. And so I start singing. You're just excited because, hey, wow, that was a great reminder that that's not me anymore. That's faith, and that's the good fight. Man. Okay. So it's getting in that place. Where was I? Remembering that I've been made new, that is your anchor. Okay. If you lose sight of who you are and who you're meant to be, it's hard to become something that you don't even know you're supposed to be. Let that take the anchor in your heart. And, I just had a quick corresponding scripture. Oh boy. Okay. 5 minutes, man. Cause woe for me if I end at 12:01. Hold on. Colossians, just got rid of it. Okay, Colossians 3:10. Do not lie to one another. Since you have put off the old man with his deeds, and by the way, you have put off. He doesn't say put it off. He says you have put it off. That's that faith that we're talking about. And have put on the new man. How? And what's the rest of that? Who is renewed in knowledge according to the image of him who created him. Main translation says, is being renewed in knowledge because I know that I can be this. That's what we were just talking about. Being renewed into the likeness of our Creator. That's amazing. That's like so good. Okay. So you can try to strive for it. You can till the ground. You can do all the hard work. It's almost like, kind of like, hear me right here, okay? I'm not saying there's no place for these, but self-help, programs, negativity fasts. I'm just saying, hear me right. Like, you could do it. These are all good things. Do them. But all I'm saying is, don't forget about that and enter into that place. Because one is tilling, one is being, okay? And so, because instead of these, the better way is to now pursue the relationship with God. It's a constant pursuit of what's good and not trying to fight off what's bad. If you pursue what's good and stay in the good, the bad will just melt on right off. I'll tell you right now. I've experienced it firsthand. So active pursuit of God, not concentrating on beating the sin, but cultivating relationship. It's cultivating. You're cultivating something good. Living from the Spirit. There's resisting the flesh. Paul even says to, right? But there's even, so, and that's good, but there's even better, which is living by the Spirit. Not long after in Romans, he says, you know, resist the flesh. He says, if you live by the Spirit and in the Spirit, you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. You will not live by the flesh. So there's even a greater way. There's a mystery in that. I think it's Romans 8. So this is good. It'll produce some good stuff, but it brings little to no change. This is lasting transformation. It's when you pursue that relationship with him. I'm not even going to give like that stuff the benefit of communication and acknowledgement, because it's no longer me. If he's already defeated the old me in me, and if he's already defeated sin, I ought to call it dead and defeated. It's done. Like if he thinks it's done, then I ought to think it's done, right? Otherwise, we're just resurrecting something, but we're just resurrecting a lie. It's, that thing is gone. You all getting that? I just love this. Okay, and the last part is, so it's faith working through love. Love is the end game. Because I could have all faith that moves all mountains. I could have all knowledge, back to before when we were talking about Revelation. All is a really strong word, but if I don't have love, it's nothing. It's worth nothing. So I get into this better habit and better lifestyle of no longer trying to change my life as much as entering into his. getting consumed with his life and letting his life change me. That's the simplicity of the gospel. So instead of him trying to change my life, I let his life change me. If I'm trying for works of righteousness, if I'm trying to be good, if I'm trying even to produce fruit, I will have a constant struggle. I mean, at least I could say from experience, like I'll have a constant struggle with disappointment, condemnation, stress, tiredness. And I might not enter his rest like he wants me to. And by the way, we could talk about, I mean, it's all laid out in Israel. You know, they were freed up, but they were still slaves in their hearts. They were still in bondage because they wouldn't enter into his rest. They decided to see what was naturally around them. They decided to look more at what they weren't instead of who God was. So, you know, we had the remnant, and we had Joshua and Caleb being like, guys, because their minds were in faith. They were, their minds and their hearts and their eyes were on God. They're like, come on, God, we know our God. We can defeat these people. But they were concentrating on how little they were, how worthless they were, how much lack they had. They were operating out of lack and bondage. Yet the Lord wanted them to enter into his rest. And that's why Paul says, be careful to enter that rest. When I know that I am righteous, when I align my mind with the Word of God and what the Word says about me, complete conviction, knowledge of my righteousness, my identity, my right standing with the Lord, I'm now going to walk and live as I believe. Because as a man believes in his heart, so he is. If I'm striving in my heart and I'm thinking about all the things I'm not, or I haven't been, you know, my leg hasn't been healed, or this and that, seriously, all the stuff that we lack, that's where, like, that's the reality that we're going to frame up around us. But instead, I'm going to allow myself by faith to enter into complete conviction, complete understanding of what he says about me. Doesn't make sense, but that's what produces results, and that is what produces change. Okay, I'm gonna sort of wrap it up. If you want to, got some music, whatever. I just, you know, not that we need it, but I just love when there's a little music, just kind of, and especially God honoring music. It just kind of puts an amazing energy and frequency of worship into the atmosphere. So if you want, just go ahead and play that at some point. But just gonna end on this. A lot of people will come to me for advice because I've learned a good amount of about gardening, about this problem and that problem with the plant and things like that. And usually, one of my first evaluations and answer and desire to answer this problem is looking down beneath the line of the soil. I'm concerned with what's down here. More than what's up here. I can get really wrapped up with the issues, the pests, the disease, but I know as a wise gardener to look down here at the root zone. Is it getting what it needs? Is it in the right medium? Is it right? And that sounds like Jesus. That's what he did, right? Like people would always nitpick and ask him questions about things on the outside, but he always seemed to dig in and go right for the heart, which is the soil. He wanted to see the heart of a matter, and that's what he spoke into every single time. So when we focus on here and get this right, then what happens is fruit. Lots of fruit. I have a tomato right now that's getting ready to pop its first nice, big, juicy Italian heirloom tomato from northern Italy. It's great stuff. It's called Franchi. Excellent tomato. Ask me about it if you want a good seed. It's like my favorite one to grow. Let me just keep talking about tomatoes for the next 10 minutes. Okay, so, but it's about to pop a nice, red, juicy tomato. It'd be interesting if someone just walked up to my tomato plant and was like, dude, like, how did you do that? Like, here you are, this weird green-like plant, piece of mass, whatever, but you're, and then you get this yellow flower, and then the yellow flower, like, turns into a green thing, and now it's turning red. How did that come? I mean, like, the tomato would just be like, I don't know. It's just doing what it's meant to be, because it's given the right stuff. It doesn't have to work, doesn't have to toil, it doesn't have to spin. It's clothed right, it's putting out the right fruit, because that's what God created it to do. We've been created for good works of righteousness, the word says. So we're going to get in that place of being. Okay, and there is, I'm going to end with this, there is a labor that we have to get to. And that's in, I think it's in Hebrews as well. You can correct me later if I'm wrong, doesn't matter, because I know Paul said it. There's a labor that we are called to do. And you ready? He says, strive to enter into his rest. I love that. Like, how cool is that? Strive to enter in, no striving. Strive to not strive. If you're going to strive for anything, strive to get into the place of not striving at all. So cool. So what I'm going to do is I'm just going to make sure that I have my right stuff. It's maintenance. There's still work, but what I'm doing is I'm protecting this. This, by this I mean for the audio, my relationship with God, my tenderness towards Him, my good ground, good soil, rest and productivity. I'm going to protect it. That means, yeah, if they, you know, I might cover it if there's a hailstorm, especially around here. I might, you know, if I see a really bad insect, I might pop it off, although there's less of them because they're healthier plants. If I see some weeds popping out, I'm going to weed them. I'm going to take them out because I don't want it to get crowded out. Like in everything I do, I make sure I maintain my relationship, and that's where my striving is, maintenance. We cast down every thought, everything that presents itself against what we have. Cool. So we strive to enter his rest, and let us cultivate life the right way. I just want to take a minute, really start, like, so it's a quick minute. I was just praying into this a little bit and what it meant for Denver and our region. I just felt like we should just pray. If it was up to me, I'd take as long as we need, but I want to honor your time, but I want to pray into Denver a little bit. As the Lord put that in, you know, on my heart as I was, you know, kind of getting ready for the day this morning, I saw something amazing that kind of shook me a little bit to the core. I saw the blood of Jesus, because, okay, we are priests. We are the royal priesthood. We have to get that through our mind. We have all that. All that is ours in Jesus' name. We are the royal priesthood. What did priests do? Many things, but one of the biggest things was to apply the blood on behalf of the people. This is true repentance. And when we do this, and when we repent, and not just, I'm sorry, Lord, but turn from our ways and do this on behalf of the people, because we have that legal right and authority like priests to do, I really believe that God is going to heal our land, heal this land, spiritually and physically, in the Denver Front Range. So I'm sorry, what really shook me when I was thinking about this, I just saw a bunch of workers doing their job, and they were like spilling buckets of blood onto the ground. And that shook me especially, because I know as an agriculturalist, one of the best fertilizers known to man, highest in nitrogen, probably known, is blood. And that creates growth and healing and gives everything something to have a base and to grow out of. So I just want to apply that, if that's cool with you guys. Does that sound good? And as we're praying, just feel free to, raise your hand or whatever, get my attention if you want to add to this, because this is amazing. Okay, so Lord, we thank you for what you're doing, God. We thank you for these prophetic words in the beginning about water coming through, floodwaters, a new irrigation, a new baptism from one place into, from the old into the new, from one place, a transition from one place to another in the Lord. We thank you for that the harvest is going to be so plentiful, and we want the workers to be many. Lord, forgive us for any time as the church that we've been so complacent and so cooped up between four walls. But now, Lord, look to your people, Father. We ask for your forgiveness, and we change. We about face. We turn from these ways. And we even ask for forgiveness for the people of the whole Denver metro region and all the Front Range. And as priests, I want you all to just picture that temple, because there's a heavenly one always. It's not just about a new... It's the new temple is already... It's another time. Picture that temple and going into the holy place, and there is the mercy seat, and we have the blood. So just a picture Jesus applying that blood on the mercy seat on our behalf.
And we're with him doing the same because we're the royal priesthood. So we apply the blood over Denver. We apply the blood over Fort Collins. We apply the blood over Colorado Springs and everywhere in between into our whole area, Lord. We want to be ready. We want the ground to be prepared. And we want to finally step in to our destiny, which you called us for, which is to manifest and get this thing on with Jesus and to introduce and to further administer and administer this kingdom on earth as it is in heaven. We're sorry for just asking and waiting for revival instead of being the revival. Because as you've brought us alive, we are to bring others alive, to bring that living truth, that water, that fertility into your land. So with humble hearts, we pray these things, Lord. Does anyone have anything? Yep. Oh, you were just... Go for it.
I didn't have anything to give, but I am blown away by this message today. I just feel like it's so God and so now. And I just get excited because the word is just like coming alive so much now as I read it. And I get so excited. And it just reminds me of, I know we all have favorites, but I have to say the glory of the Lord covering the earth as the waters cover the sea, that we get to be a part of that. And I'm so excited. God, you are amazing. Thank you for your word and thank you for how it transforms us. May we remember that you are our covering. We so need this covering everywhere we go. And I thank you, Lord, that you're saying, take the word out. Take it out. And we are your word with hands and feet walking this earth. But Lord, that you're putting an expectation that we're going to see it. We are that body that's going to participate in seeing this whole earth covered with your glory. You are awesome, God.
Thanks so much for that. I rounded up a bunch of scriptures. I was like, Lord, don't let me forget any of them, whatever. That was one of them. That was like the only one I forgot, and now it's in the atmosphere. I mean, yeah.
Okay, well, three things. The first was... That message was a home run with the bases loaded. And second, as a testimonial, I did the Back to Eden gardening this year. My garden looks awesome. Huge zucchini plants and tomatoes have been producing. And just wonderful. And the third thing is I prayed that you would get revelation today. And I got a revelation while you were speaking that your name is the first four letters of evangelism. Amen.
That's really good, and there's a story behind that, but not for right now.
When you were talking about the covering and it being a garment, I also thought of the scripture about a garment of praise. That one thing we can do as a covering to be in that side is to praise God, and that's our covering to stay there.
We all want that effect, that overflow. Totally. Thanksgiving and praise. There are two things that just well up, and there's that overflow because of this. Anyone else? I love this because my prayer was that this would just turn, like it would just have an effect on our life and quicken and come alive in our hearts. So, yay God.
What I'm hearing is that the Spirit of the living God is in each of us, and he can be as big as we need him to be if we release him, or he can be as small as we need.
Amen.
Anything else? Yeah. Brother? For me, Proverbs 16:1, I was reading last night, so what you're talking about, I would say the choice of toiling or being under the covering is the preparation of a heart belongs to man, but the answer comes from the Lord. So I was looking at it, does that automatically make you want to think about toiling because you got to prepare, or do you go to the side of being one with him since we're righteous because of what he did, not because of us? Amen.
All right, I wanted Evan to look at this. A couple weeks back, I got something. I was talking to Jack and this popped out of my mouth, and I was just going to brush by it. But I believe it's kind of what's been said here today, with everything he said, and what I got, and I'm sure it was what God told me, was he said, it's time to stop trying to be who you think I want you to be, and to start being who you are.
Amen.
So I've been debating your vision that you had up here with the water coming down from the Rocky Mountains. I had a dream a long time ago, it's been about 10 years ago, about that, exactly about that. And it came out and it filled the valley and it became a huge river, a huge river. And I believe that that is the last revival. Yeah.
Amen. So let us be that moist soil so we don't get the runoff. We get absorption. We take it up and we own it. All right. So I guess so. I heard we're having a potluck, you know, speaking of the good food. Hopefully it's good food. I'm just kidding. I'm sure it's amazing. And if you haven't brought anything, there's probably plenty for everyone. Okay. I just won't eat so you can. Just kidding. No, really. Everyone, stay if you have the time. Okay. Love you guys. And yeah, we're dismissed.